Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in once again to the Banff Podcast. This is Michael Efferty, and I'm here with regular guest Cam Banks from Margaret Weiss Productions. Hey, Cam.
Hey, how's it going?
That's great. Thanks for joining us. And we also have your friend, and Phil, I'm going to let you pronounce your name because I'm pretty sure I would butcher it.
Well, my name is Phil Menard. I think it's the easiest way for you to pronounce it.
Well, you had that accent over the E, so I thought maybe that was, you know.
Yeah, well, if you want to go French, it's Philippe Antoine Menard. But hey, you probably just heard noise.
Oh, you Canadians. And Phil is one of the writers on the latest project from Margaret Weiss Productions, The Cortex. Well, Cam, why don't you set this up for us? What is this project?
Well, okay, so the Cortex Plus Hacker's Guide is something we had decided to put together about 2 years ago. And as the Kickstarter video has said, it was put on the back burner because we had to devote all our resources to Marvel. Mm-hmm. And which, as you can imagine, you know, probably looking at the long term, not a bad idea. But it's the kind of thing where you have all this wonderful content and people seem to be asking you all the time, is it going to be a generic Cortex book? How do I hack these games for something else? And you're just sitting on this content and you realize that you really just want to get it out there. And what Phil and Dave have been helping me do is, in fact, they've been leading the charge on it for me, which is fantastic, is getting that content together and helping us put together a Kickstarter that really gets things moving along again as they should be.
And for anyone who doesn't know, that's Dave Chalker, who couldn't be with us today. So he mentioned it, Dave. All right, cool. Well, tell us more about the Hacker's Guide. Basically, this is taking the Cortex that we're familiar with from Leverage and Smallville and, you know, hacking it, doing different things with the different genres. What's the... tell us a little bit about it.
Well, Phil, what do you think?
Well, for starters, we really wanted people to go wild and show how you could basically do pretty much anything with the core engine and whatever game you wanted to base it on, either Smallville, which we call the drama system, or Leverage, which we call the action system. And going over the list of what we've got submitted so far, it's pretty impressive. You've got people playing, you know, Starship for Hire, or you have mutant animals that may or may not do, you know, kung fu. My own submission was about basically based on the fact that a dungeon crawl is probably a very badly organized heist, and I used Leverage to do a dungeon crawling game. So that gives you a few ideas of the things that people have been trying to do with the guide.
Yeah, some of the things that people have tried have taken things a whole lot more in the direction that Smallville kind of starts, the road that Smallville starts on, you know, where Smallville's very much relationship drama. There's kind of a couple of things, one of which is making it work for vampires and other kinds of, you know, sort of the Twilight market. But also, I really like the fact that there's a couple that seem to just push it much more cerebrally, you know, way out into the surreal and the strange. And that's kind of neat, because there are people out there who would really eat that up.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm looking over your tentative table of contents, and oh my God, this looks amazing. You touched on what Dave Chalker is doing, the Starship for Hire. Is that kind of a Firefly Serenity kind of thing, or is that something different?
I think it's in between, isn't it kind of between Firefly and Star Trek? Or am I totally thinking of something else?
Yeah, no, Firefly, Star Trek, Cowboy Bebop kind of approach.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah, it looks, I mean, there's just a ton on here. Boy, this is going to be a huge book, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, especially with the stretch goals.
Oh, what kind of stretch goals are being unlocked?
Well, right now we've just reached the funding level, which means gives us the basic book with what you have on the table of contents we posted on the website.
Mm-hmm.
If we hit the next goal, which is $20,000, Cam?
Yeah.
We're going to make the book look more amazing by adding more art to it, full color art. And do the best job we can on layouts and whatnot. Not that we wouldn't, but we'll have more resources to do it.
Yeah, we're about a shade under 4,000 away from doing this.
And you guys have been doing this for about 6 days now?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you're going to make 20,000 probably end of the week then.
That'd be cool.
If not Wednesday, so yeah, okay, cool.
And if we hit the next stretch goal, which I think is $5,000, more than $25,000, both Dave Chalker and I are going to tackle making a fantasy act of the Marvel Heroic role-playing game, which is we're really looking forward to. Doing epic fantasy action that you all know about based on games we've been playing for the last 30 years using the Cortex system.
Well, that is really cool. I've done a lot of Marvel role-playing here on the podcast with Stacey Montgomery as my watcher, usually. It would be really cool to see that ported into a fantasy setting. But I'm curious, I noticed that you yourself are writing the dungeon job that you mentioned for the basic book. How is the dungeon job going to be different than this stretch goal?
Well, the dungeon job is really much more focused on specific roles that are ported over from Leverage. Giving everybody a specific role. And it's a much lighter game in terms of mechanics. It's not as defined. Actually, depending on how we fund or not, we might decide to recycle the dungeon job into the main game. We're not quite, decided on that yet.
Okay, so the dungeon job is, broadly speaking, more of a Leverage hack, and fantasy role-playing is more of a Marvel hack. Okay, cool.
That's a core idea. And one of the things that I really look forward for the fantasy hack is one, and you probably noticed if you played a lot of Marvel, is one of the strengths of Marvel is the fact that all the tropes, all the things that you know about the Marvel Universe, you do much more stuff in the game. You know how Spider-Man works. So everybody agrees on how a specific power is going to work, and it really works into the story. Well, the same goes for epic fantasy. We've been playing epic fantasy role-playing games for the last 40 years for some of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we really know how a wizard is supposed to act or how a barbarian looks and how he attacks. So it's going to make, help out. It's going to help out how it's going to work out on the table because everybody's going to share the same trope.
Okay, so it's doing for fantasy tropes what Marvel did for Marvel comic book tropes.
Exactly.
Okay, excellent. And let's see, at 30,000, you're doubling the amount of content for fantasy heroic role playing. More months. Yeah. Okay, cool.
It's going crazy.
35,000, you create a new section for a generic version of Cortex Plus drama. That doubles whatever setting you choose, perfect for any Cortex Plus hacker's use. And the highest stretch goal you have, if you get 40,000 or above, you'll unveil other bonus stretch goals, some planned, others based on backer polls.
Okay. Right.
Cool. And Cam, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys are doing something interesting with this, with the funding for this Kickstarter.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Once we cover the cost of actually producing the book and paying the contributors, paying the extra staff and so forth, but the main thing that we want to try and focus on is taking the profit mm-hmm. from this, all the extra money we make from it, and splitting it down the middle. We give half of it to the contributors. It's the original folks who worked on the Cortex Plus Hacker's Guide, and those are the folks who are contributing to the book's success as well.
I think that's great. You're the first Kickstarter I ever heard of who does that, and I hope a lot of folks follow your example on that.
Well,
I think, Phil, did you describe it once as kind of a share? Everyone gets shares in the success.
I'm sorry, what?
Everyone's getting a share in the success, basically.
Yeah.
Especially for a larger name publisher to do that. And I don't want to name any names or, throw any mud, but, I mean, we know in the RPG business, sometimes folks don't get paid. So it's really nice to see a larger publisher, waving the banner and taking a strong stand towards treating the freelancers nicely. And
mm-hmm.
like to thank you guys for doing that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we've had kind of a roller coaster in the past few years, as every company does. And when you look at the books, you think, oh, gosh, I really want to pay this person more. You can't really do it because of the cost of everything. So often the bare minimum you can do is to just pay them when you can pay them. I like this because it means, if they help us get the awareness out there and because of the amount of support they've given us before, they get to have part of the takings at the end of the day.
Well, I guess it's a good point. It kind of incentivizes your freelancers to help spread the word. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very smart. Now, I've seen people ask you on Twitter, and I know I've asked you previously myself on a podcast, any thoughts about doing an OGL thing, opening up to third-party publishers or licensing somehow that people, other people use Cortex?
There is, well, part of the dramatic role-playing may involve going that direction. But one of the difficult things that I've been looking into lately, and this is something I know that the folks at Evilhead have also had to consider, is the sort of the fine print, I guess, and the consequences of opening up with OGL or with Creative Commons or something like that. Right now, for example, as you've probably seen, people can hack Cortex Plus games and put them on their websites and blogs and everything else as much as they'd like. They don't really have to come and ask permission from us. We just say, you know, don't copy, you know, large amounts of text. Don't duplicate our trade dress, because a lot of it's taken from the license that we're actually, you know, engaged with. So that's more a trademark slash copyright thing that we don't want to have people come into trouble with. But as far as the system goes, I've seen all kinds of people doing fun things, and that's really what this book itself is. We just ask them to take their hacking urges and direct it towards this book.
And there's a design challenge underneath making a generic game, because if you do a generic game, do you make it so vague that, yeah, you can do everything, but it doesn't feel like you're simulating any kind of genres? Or do you have to cover each and every possibility, which is what we've been doing, each and every, not doing, but each and every Cortex Plus games have had the same core rules, but have been developed specifically for the genre so that it simulates that particular type of game. So a generic game is going to be quite a challenge to, you know, cover what you want, which we were aware of if we ever hit the Cortex Drama game.
Now, you guys keep referring to Cortex Drama. That's kind of a tweaked version of the Smallville rules?
Yeah. I think my inclination is to call it dramatic role-playing, the way that Marvel is heroic role-playing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the name of the name, it's Smallville without the Smallville.
Okay, cool. Well, hey, I just became a backer while we were talking, so you're $10 closer.
Yeah, cool.
That's the power of interviews.
That's how we roll here on the Banff podcast. Cool. This is a really interesting project. You got a ton of people. It looks like this has been probably something you guys have been planning for a long time, and this is the first Kickstarter for Margaret Weiss Productions, right?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're already wildly successful after less than a week. Have you any thoughts about what the next one's going to be? Or are you guys really focusing on getting this out the door and getting the next, flight of Marvel products taken care of?
We really want to see this one out the door, I think.
Yeah, one thing at a time.
Okay. As we all know, you know, especially for role, well, actually, it's been kind of in the media. There's been a lot of attention on Kickstarter projects that, you know, have some trouble getting out the door. And there's been a lot written about the need for project management and scheduling. I know you guys are pretty famous for, you know, delivering products in a timely fashion. What kind of skill sets are you bringing, you know, transferring from your usual production cycle over to Kickstarter to make sure you get things out, you know, in some kind of a timetable?
Well, it does help that all of the content's been written.
Yeah.
I do know there are some Kickstarter folks who kind of, they launch the thing and they get the money and then they go, well, I should probably make the game now.
Whereas we've already started working on it. The authors are revising their submissions. They have a deadline they have to meet. Both Dave and I have already started rereading and doing development passes on them. Mm-hmm. So that they'll be out the door as soon as we can, so we can deliver the core basic, no layout, no art PDF to the backers, so that they feel that they got something back while waiting for the final product.
Mm-hmm.
We're working with very tight deadlines that we committed to, and we're three people plus a whole team that we're hiring to work on these things and then committed to it. So there, you've got Dave, you've got myself, and you've got Cam supporting us on that. And between all three of us, we've got award-winning game designers, experienced project managers, and loudmouths, that'd be me. So.
Well, all right. Cool.
It's critical to get the loudmouth component.
Yeah, but I'm also a project manager, so that kind of helps.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, cool. I think maybe this is, I don't know, I've been thinking about this lately since Fate Core released their, you know, the text-only manuscript. And it seems to look like maybe that's the wise wave of the future for RPG Kickstarters, because so many folks have gotten burned in the past. I think doing what you guys are doing, what Fate Core did, you know, where you give them something and say, hey, see, there's actually a product here. I think maybe that's, you got to build faith, it seems like, I think.
Yeah. I'll let the pun slide.
No, please go ahead. Now I'm curious.
No. You say, no, never mind.
Just leave
it. Gotta have faith.
Faith, I don't bump. All right, cool. All right, guys. Well, hey, I am just on lunch from my dreary cubicle job. I need to get back under the watchful gaze of my paymasters. Anything else we want to cover before we wrap up the podcast?
No, thank you very much for having us.
Yeah.
Sure. Kim, always a pleasure. Phil, very nice to meet you.
Phil, can I talk to you, Kim?
Hey, I guess, well, we can talk about your guys' Twitter account, because I didn't realize, I've been following Phil on Twitter for like a year just because I like the stuff he was tweeting about. He's Chatty DM on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea that you were you, so.
Yeah, but Chatty DM is mostly my blogger brand, and since I work on games that don't have actually Dungeon Masters, I kind of go with my real name for the rest of the stuff.
Oh, okay. So you don't want anyone to follow you on Twitter?
No, please do.
I'm not trying to. Yeah, what are you getting at there? Don't follow me on Twitter, but please do follow me on Twitter.
Phil is a complex soul. And Cam Banks, as everyone probably knows, is Boy Monster on Twitter. And he's entertaining, and he posts cool stuff, so check him out, too.
Thank you.
So, Phil, Cam, thanks for your time, guys.
Cool. Thanks very much, Mike.
And to our devoted listeners and angry creditors, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.